The Lord be with you.
And
with a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." The Gospel of the Lord. As I was reflecting on the Gospel reading this weekend, there was a phrase that came to my mind. You may have heard this line before. "There, but for the grace of God, go I." It's a phrase that most people have said can be attributed to a man named John Bradford. He was an Englishman. He died in the year 1555. And it's said that one day he was out walking and he noticed a group of prisoners that was being led to the executioner. And he looked at that group of prisoners and he said, "There, but for the grace of God, goes John Bradford." Another way to say this is, if not for the grace of God in our life, we could end up like people that we see in the world that are in much difficult situations. I thought of that phrase because it reminds me not to judge people's actions without knowing them. Not to judge somebody and why they've ended up as they are, because if not for God's grace in my life, and the situations I've been blessed with and the family upbringing I had, I could have turned out in any number of ways. Maybe like a prisoner. Maybe someone who has done things in their life that they regret. But for God's grace and God's favor in my life, I've been spared a lot of those things. So lest we judge people, we should be quick to understand that we too are sinners. And we could have made the same choices as other people who we may judge to be bigger sinners than we are. I think that's the core message that we can come to in the Gospel reading today, because it's a Gospel reading about God's mercy. And the opposite of that, the scribes and Pharisees who are very judgmental for this woman caught in adultery. In the law of Moses, both the man and the woman would have been guilty of this, and they both would have been sentenced to death. That could have been carried out as punishment upon them. And it's many have pointed out that in the Gospel reading, we're not told, well, where's the man? Why isn't the man that was caught in adultery also brought forward along with the women? Both man and woman should have had to answer for this. But on another level, too, why did the Pharisees and scribes even bring anybody before Jesus in the temple area? Don't they understand that the temple is a place of mercy? It's a place where people offer a sacrifice in order to receive God's mercy and forgiveness. And they want the temple to be the spot here where this woman's going to receive the harshest judgment. And maybe it's just that they want to put Jesus in the uncomfortable position of deciding between death and forgiveness. Jesus helps them and the whole crowd to understand that before we start accusing people of what they have done, We better be first ready to look at ourselves and say, what are the sins in my life that I need to own up to? Where are the things of my life that I should be putting more attention on rather than accusing others for their sins? And if we were all just maybe a little bit more able to remove the wooden plank in our eyes, we'd be less ready to point out the splinter in other people's lives. Jesus reassures this woman at the end of the reading that he does not condemn her. He encourages her to go on from now and do not sin anymore. And those are the words that he speaks to us, words of mercy and love. In this journey of Lent, this season, we've been walking and we've been remembering the words on Ash Wednesday, turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel. And there, but for the grace of God, go many of us. We rely on God's mercy to sustain us on our walk as we acknowledge our sin, as we ask for God's help, as we help one another with understanding and compassion. Sometimes with a challenge, challenging people to make good choices. If they're in a spot of their life, we don't go first with judgment, though. I think we first go with a desire to understand, to accompany them, to encourage them, and then maybe to invite them on a better path, along with our help to walk in a good path following Christ, knowing that Christ nourishes, sustains, and forgives us, and that he invites us to trust in that mercy.